You know the story is going to be bad when a Florida television station gets to point out that another state is crazy. And you can file this one under the heading of, you need a license to get a dog, but anyone can have a kid. This is just one of those things where you go, wow. Owensboro, Kentucky. This guy thought it'd be cute because they live history. They love history. No one understands how much they love history. This guy thought it'd be cute to dress himself up as a Nazi soldier and make his four-year-old into Adolf Hitler. And then go to the town of Owensboro's trial of treats. He said, look, he just did it for historical purposes. Loves history. Nobody knows how much he loves history. He admitted, though, maybe he hadn't thought it completely through. He said, anyone who knows us knows that we love history, and we often dress the part of historical figures. You know, we got Hitler costumes laying around all over the point. He said that, you know, there were adults that were threatening his child over the costume, which I highly doubt. I think they were aimed at him. They threatened to rip his outfit off of him, which, you know, maybe would not be a bad thing. He says, I think it was in bad taste for me to let my child wear that. No, you didn't let your child. You put your child in that. And there's part of me that says maybe we should be taking the kid away because this, bad judgment. Endangering the welfare of a child and endangering the future of this country by poisoning this poor kid's mind with your twisted nonsense. Just my thought. But here to share some thoughts on how is it that, you know, as I asked earlier, how do you go from where I'm at that I could never put crosshairs on somebody's picture to where, you know, it's perfectly acceptable. In fact, in some areas of this country, encouraged. That's why I've asked our good friend Propane Jane to share some thoughts. Jane, thanks for taking time for us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me back.
So what do you think of this guy from Kentucky? Going to dress the kid up. Did you see this?
It's so disgraceful. I actually did see it last week or just a couple of days ago. And, I mean, it's appalling. And, number one, why do they have those costumes just laying around? Or why did they go to the length? I don't even know what links you'd have to go to find
no idea.
That type.
Yep, no idea. You know, hate is us? I don't know. Is there a local Klan outfit around? Is there a local, you know, is the Hitler Museum down there or something that we don't know about?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, not only is it poor insight and judgment, it's a lack of empathy and a lack of sympathy for the people who are most affected by that imagery, when they see that swastika and they see that impersonation of Hitler, what that harkens back to in their mind. And obviously we've been, you know, discussing this a lot over the last couple of days in response to this mass shooting in Pittsburgh. But that is a real salient history for people. And there are still people living who survived the Holocaust and who had family members that didn't survive it. And so it's not just a funny joke. It's not something that you can sort of make light of and say, oh, I'm just a history buff. No, that's not okay. And I think there are, you know, very similar parallels with the Confederate memorabilia.
Right. I was just going to bring that up because, you know, there are actually people – in our area that, you know, that's their argument. We're proud Confederate historians, so we're going to raise the hate flag. When I saw this guy's story, I go, well, at least he isn't the guy from New Jersey who named his kid Adolf Hitler. Which, again, I come back to this, and, you know, maybe as a psychiatrist, you can give me some thoughts, because I'm almost to the mindset to where, you know, like I said at the beginning, you need a license to get a dog. You know, maybe shouldn't there be some, you know, hey, you know, some, you know, test? Should there be nothing that, because, wow.
I mean, I think in a free society, right, I mean, there are ideas and there are beliefs that theoretically everyone has a right and an opportunity to hold. But where the rubber meets the road is where those beliefs begin to infringe upon the rights and the humanity of other people. And so, yes, you know, in America, we claim to value the First Amendment, and we allow people to go on the airwaves and to be very xenophobic and to be racist and to fearmonger and vilify other groups of people, namely, you know, people who are masquerading as the President of the United States right now. And what happens in response to that, and, you know, thankfully this term has been used, I think, appropriately over the last couple of days, is stochastic terrorism, where someone is literally ginning people up and vilifying a group of people to the extent that random acts of terror against that group of people will start to happen because people are being incited. And so I think that that is the consequence, ultimately, of holding those beliefs, is that there are always going to be people who take those beliefs to the extreme and actually try to live out those fantasies of getting rid of the people that they hate and they fear.
Yeah, but how do you get to that point? You know, because, you know, I was talking earlier with Ben Jackson about this. I'm going, you know, there's literally no one that I would put a set of crosshairs on. You know, and think and display it and think that that's okay. There's literally no one. I don't know how you get to that point to where, you know, those dark hate kind of feelings, now you feel emboldened to not just speak out in public, but to act on. I don't know how that community of reinforcement, I don't know how that happens to where, you know, in your mind, you think it's normal.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it becomes normal because there are groups of people that share these beliefs, and then there gets to be a confirmation bias where if somebody is surrounded by people who believe the same things they do and they see it on their television and it's reinforced. I talk about the Holocaust Museum in an article that I wrote back in December of 2016, and I talked about the terror attack that happened at the Holocaust Museum here in the United States. And that guy, you know, he was in his 80s when he did that. And the museum is very interesting because it takes you chronologically through Hitler's rise to power and how he, you know, took over all of this territory and how eventually, you know, he used his power to put his final solution into action. But at the very beginning of that process, as it takes you through, it takes you through the media and the propaganda and how they were able to fearmonger and they were able to get people to see this as everybody agrees with me and all of us think like this. And that's all it really took to get people on board with his government, and then before you knew it, they were just okay with all sorts of atrocities.
Yeah, and it's happening
to
somebody else.
It's a very slippery slope. Yeah, exactly.
And you've dehumanized them. I mean, you know, look, my fear is, you know, I just saw a report, potentially we could be sending 21,000 troops to the southern border to meet this caravan of what will probably be a couple of hundred that actually make it here.
Right, right.
Under the threat of that, if you come, we will kill you.
Right. Right. Yeah. And now, you know, I've seen clips from today of people on Fox News saying that they're bringing leprosy and smallpox. I mean, you know, something that's been eradicated for decades now. And so, yes, you know, this is what was used, and it's tried and true in the sense that this was the campaign that was waged against the Native Americans, that has allowed them to be put on reservations, like that's okay. This is the, you know, what was sold to people in to allow them to be okay with chattel slavery for hundreds of years. And so these are things that, you know, when we look back to Jim Crow and you see these lynchings and people standing underneath the body hanging from a tree.
Yeah, with their kids
on their faces.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a picnic and there's food and people are in their Sunday best and there's a dead person hanging from a tree. And this was an event, and this happened in this country not too long ago, actually. And so people do get ginned up to the point where they will actually aid and abet very tremendous atrocities. And I don't think that the Republican Party is taking that aspect of any of this very seriously right now.
Look, I think the Republican Party is too far down the road.
Yeah. You know,
there used to be that view that, well, the Republicans were just using the dim and these racists and these hate mongers as useful idiots. I now believe that the Republican Party is the useful idiots. They're the dim. They're the racists, the hate mongers. And if you vote for them, I think you got to be at this moment now. And I hate to be kind of this divisive, but at this point, you've got to make a clear stance, a clear line in the sand. You have to condemn this kind of behavior in every way, shape, and form, or you're complicit.
Oh, I totally agree. And I had a conversation with one of my dear friends from high school about this. Even just today, we were talking about, you know, certain people not talking to certain people because of their votes in the 2016 election. And she asked me point blank, she said, you know, are you at the point now to where if someone voted for Trump, you are basically feeling like that person is a bigot? And I said, yeah, that's the point that I'm at, because I don't understand how you can... Even then, I don't understand how you could have voted for this man after all of the racist things that he already said up until that point, before November of 2016. Because it wasn't like he wasn't being overtly racist. For sure towards Black Americans, definitely towards anybody of Hispanic descent, and most definitely towards anyone who was Muslim. It was already very clear at that point what his stance was against at least those three groups of people. And there's some question as to whether or not he's espoused anti-Semitism. I certainly think he has, and I think that it's been documented in terms of ways that, you know, on Holocaust Remembrance, he completely left out mention of Jews. And certain things that he's done that have been an insult and that the groups themselves recognize as a personal insult.
Yeah.
And so for these people to look at us feeling this insulted and this offended and this oppressed and to still be going, no, I don't see how he's a bigot, or no, I don't think he's racist, they're lying. They're just not willing to own up to their part that they're playing in it.
Yeah, I'm a little more forgiving, but I understand your I understand your point.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that, you know, the people who may have cast their vote for Trump were low information voters and weren't paying attention. And they just didn't like Hillary Clinton. They just, you know, whatever the rationale was. You bought the, you know, the trade stuff. You bought whatever. And I hope that now the eyes are open and you're going, okay, I voted for him. What a huge mistake. And now I'm going to come back to somewhere near the same line, if that's possible.
You know, I think that there is a certain benefit of the doubt that could be given if the Republican Party hadn't been running on the Southern strategy for the last 50 years.
Agreed.
They didn't just wake up and become insidiously racist with Donald Trump. It was something that they already were doing, and they were doing it in dog whistle format, yes. And I think that, yes, there are certain people who maybe not be, you know, sophisticated enough to sort of read through what's happening with that dog whistle. But I do think that people know, and again, as a Southerner, I do think that people know where the color line falls. And I do think that people know historically who has voted for one party and who has voted for the other party. And I think they've done enough things on the Republican side to associate the Democrats with welfare queens and handouts to people that we don't like, quote unquote, wink, wink, that those people that feel that way about those groups of people and that feel superior to those groups of people, they know why they're casting their vote.
Agreed.
And why they're casting it with certain people as opposed to with other groups of people.
No, I see that completely. You're right. I tend to look at Republicans as giving free stuff to people that I find detestable. you know, those white bankers who, you know, basically screwed us out of billions of dollars and kicked us out of our homes and stole our 401ks. And, you know, those are the welfare queens, in my opinion. But, we've got an entire political party pandering to them. But, you know, here's the thing. And this is where, you know, there's part of me that goes, you know, there are some people, maybe you can find some hope with, as a psychiatrist, looking at, just being inundated with this kind of messaging that is in their ear from top to bottom. And I think of people who, one of the first guys that I met when I moved into the house that we live in now, was a salt of the earth guy. I mean, I was driving a truck at the time. I was gone. He came over and plowed my driveway because he knew my wife was home alone.
Oh, nice.
I mean, did nice things, but was a rabid right-wing Fox News, consumer, Hannity, O'Reilly, Limbaugh, right-wing zealot. But, he was a guy who, retired with a union pension, collected Social Security, Medicare, bought a house with a VA loan, all of this New Deal stuff, all of this, liberal Democrat, but hated the Democrats and, was a rabid right winger with a bumper sticker on his car and work hard, be happy and piss off a liberal.
Yeah.
And, he was a salt of the earth, decent guy, but, was insane in the voting booth and insane politically. And, you'll go, how did that happen to him?
Well, and was he only extending that courtesy to you because he saw some commonality with you? Would he be just as giving to a black neighbor or a Muslim neighbor?
Good question.
Or a Hispanic neighbor? And so I think we don't necessarily know in those situations because we don't always see how these people interact with other people. And maybe they aren't necessarily in environments where they even come into contact with people who are different. So it's easy for them to dehumanize these people and fearmonger about them because they have no real life day-to-day experience with any individuals who belong to that group. But I think even beyond that, there's an element of just complete disavowal of facts and the assault on reason. I saw a video on Twitter a couple of days ago, and it was a woman who was basically saying how she didn't believe that the white van that the man in Florida was driving around with all the Trump stickers was real. She thought it was this ginned up, the stickers looked too new.
Right.
And
it was photoshopped.
and
liberal media.
Yeah, and it's like, despite the fact that this man has been brought in by the authorities, he's been charged. Jeff Sessions literally came out there. I mean, this is Trump's attorney general saying these things, and that they literally are still trying to make it so that this is not the case. It has taken on a level of delusion and fixed delusion that you can't separate these people from these conspiracy theories that they're choosing to believe.
Because there's part of me that goes, I know the people who did the documentary, I think it was the poisoning of my uncle or I forget what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But, they did a great job on, and basically
it was brainwashing my dad. The brainwashing of my dad.
That's it. I give an out there because I look at this guy who I thought was a decent guy, but he was just constantly inundated with this stuff. And part of the reason that I started doing this show 13 years ago is to add some bit of balance because there's nothing out there.
Yeah.
You're driving, look, as a truck driver, there was nothing. It's all right-wing hate blather.
Mm-hmm.
It's being constantly inundated and reinforced with this craziness. And,
yeah.
And I've often said that Democrats, unions, the left, they've done a horrible job of creating an infrastructure to compete with that kind of hate mongering. But at the end of it, am I being too generous in giving these people an out by saying, it's just that you were consuming all this and now your brain's shot?
Well, I mean, I think it's a valid point because, again, when you actually break down statistically the groups that approve and disapprove of Trump, how it's shaking out and really solidifying over time is that amongst college-educated whites, the disapproval is actually pretty high for both men and women. But then when you get to...
the knuckle-draggers.
Exactly. When you get to somebody who hasn't been able to, get a higher level of education, then yes, if that person is still in their same segregated, community, and all they have to listen to is AM radio or Fox, because again, their president is telling them you can't trust CNN, MSNBC is a left-wing, you know, conspiracy, right? So the only thing they will actually turn on television is Fox News. And I think in addition to that, what we saw in 2016 was that the other source that they were using as a result of the expansion of broadband is like social media and the internet and Facebook. And so whatever types of, you know, unfact-checked information that was streaming down their feed on Facebook, if it, you know, spoke to their deep-seated belief system, right, that may have involved some misogyny or some bigotry, some homophobia, you name it, then they latched onto it because it confirmed and affirmed how they were feeling on the inside.
Yeah, it's I don't know if there's a reason or a justification for it. It's just one of these things that I wanted to throw out. But I did find it interesting. Did you see the U.S. editor of the Financial Times, the U.K. Publication, calling for a boycott of companies that advertise on Fox News?
Yes, I did, and I think it's about time. I mean, this should be something that we should have been doing this for at least a decade, if not more.
No, and it's one of those things where, you know, like you said, we should have been doing it for a while. I've been calling for that for a long time. In fact, I don't watch Fox News. You know, I'll see clips of it occasionally, and I'll read stories, but I can't watch it. It makes me crazy.
Yeah, and I mean, statistically, I'm not just saying this, you know, because of my personal opinion. I mean, when they have actually gone through, and they can show that Fox viewers are the most uninformed, misinformed viewers and consumers of cable news.
Yeah, I like to say over misinformed.
Absolutely.
There's so to use that Reagan clip, there's so much that they know that isn't true.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when they believe it wholeheartedly, what we've seen repeatedly is that all they need is access to a lethal weapon. I mean, right around the time of the election and the Pizzagate, you know, and the guy going into the pizza place, guns blazing because he thought that children were being held there. And it's lucky that nobody got shot and that nobody got hurt in that incident, but he wholeheartedly believed that conspiracy. And so, again, you know, as a psychiatrist, I think the most frustrating thing to me about this, you know, and if there's anything else I can say tonight, I would like to demystify the psychiatric evaluation for people, because somebody like Bowers in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, don't say their names. Don't care about their names.
If somebody walks into my office and I have to give them an exam, presumably for the purpose of them being okay to possess a weapon, okay? If I ask them point blank, are you having any symptoms of depression or anxiety? Maybe he's not. He says no. If I ask him, are you having any thoughts of committing suicide? Of killing yourself, harming yourself, injuring yourself in some way? Are you having thoughts of doing that to someone else? All he has to say to me is no, 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 no. Are you hearing voices? No. What is he saying to me in that interview that is going to make me as a psychiatrist be able to predict that however many days from my meeting him, he's going to use one of the 21 guns that he owns to go to a synagogue and gun down 11 people? That person is not going to tell me in a psychiatric interview that he's going to do that.
No, you're
right. That's A number one. So I'm not psychic. I'm a psychiatrist, but I'm not psychic. And so the people who throw around mental health and try to act like psychiatrists are going to be able to save the world from these gunmen having these weapons, and believing something so much that they would actually act on those beliefs. When these people go to court, when they are tested by the mental health experts, more often than not, they are not found not guilty by reason of insanity. They're not even found to have anything more than antisocial personality disorder. They're not psychotic, okay? They're just rational, you know, aware human beings that hated enough to go out and kill somebody, and they had a weapon readily available to go and do it.
Yeah, but if he pulled up in a hate wagon like the guy in Florida, I mean, isn't that a giant sign? I mean, you know,
it's a giant sign of what? He loves Trump. He loves Pence. He loves the Republican Party. If it doesn't say in shining bright light that he's going to go and male pipe bombs to 12 people.
Yeah, that's just not normal. I'm sorry, just not normal.
It's not whether it's normal or not. It's the fact that is it actionable from a standpoint of a mental health provider being able to actually do something for someone who thinks they're totally fine and is not doing anything in that moment that is dangerous to himself or others. Now, certainly that guy was different because he had made threats in the past,
right,
and he had a criminal record, right? So they had a pattern of his actual behavior. But again, this man is, when they check him out, he is not psychotic. The guy who shot up the movie theater, the guy who shot at Gabby Giffords, even Jeffrey Dahmer,
yeah,
who ate a bunch of people.
Yeah, that's just a bad diet.
I mean, when you actually clinically go into what can be treatable with medication and what we can actively say that person at that moment did not know right from wrong, these people know right from wrong, and they're choosing to do wrong.
Right. So they're,
and we're giving them access to a weapon to act out on those beliefs.
And a weapon that is made for killing people. Last question I've got for you from the chat room. They ask, what if a doctor knows a patient has a mental disorder, but the person who fills out the application lies and says that they don't have them? Is there anything there?
What teeth are there to hold that? As a psychiatrist, they have actually shut down the Republican Party. You look at Rick Scott in Florida. They have gone to every length they can to actually stop doctors from asking people if they have access to lethal weapons. Okay? They started to make that to where you can't even ask that.
Yeah,
and unless someone is actually making a threat against someone else,
there's nothing you can do.
There's nothing you can do. There's nothing that the law allows you to do. The law is more on the side of the gun owner, especially in a state like Texas. Certainly there are other states that are different. But in a state like Texas, the law is far more on the side of the gun owner than it is on a clinician that's trying to protect that individual or society from what they could do with that gun.
Definitely, definitely scary times. And I don't know what the
answer is. I have no power to stop anybody from doing anything with their gun unless they explicitly tell me that they are going out to do that particular thing.
I'm going in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Scary times, and I'm sure this is something we will most certainly bring up again, because I don't see it going away anytime soon, and it's frightening, scary times. But Jane, I appreciate the time. Always great talking with you.
You too. Have a great week.
Thanks so much, our good friend Propane Jane. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show.
Think of all the roads. Think of all the crossings. Taking steps is easy. Stand.